Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, celebrating 25 years with our 25 stories of glory. You can find those out at Baltimore Positive. I loved featuring young Luke Jones from 2008 to come out. He'll be in Owings Mills the next 2 weeks as an accredited reporter. We will not be at the Super Bowl, but I will be here doing the Super Bowl, and we hope the Ravens are in the Super Bowl. We're doing a thing called Crab Cake Row the week of February 5th. We're going to be doing some really cool charity things, and I think everybody's going to dig what we're doing. We'll be spilling the beans on that after Lamar Jackson wins the home game and after Baltimore becomes the host of the AFC Championship game for the first time since 1971. This guy remembers the Baltimore Colts. I'm having a good time around here this week with Lamar's success and the team's success and a bye week. And getting thrown out of the NFL media contingent because I don't see these guys anymore or gals anymore. So I get to do sort of a greatest hits and all-star team here as the Ravens have bye week. Jason Cole is one of my all-time favorites. I am wearing my Curio Wellness I'm a Blunt Person shirt. I don't know that they stole it from you, but it was always your Twitter handle that you were a blunt person. I love your West Coasty, East Coasty football coverage. And and I love reading your work, man. And you have a book. You have a new gig. But we have the best team in football. And I remember 11 years ago, you gave me a chapter title in Dancing on the Edge of Chaos. I tell you what, expectations are through the roof here, Jason Cole, and they're expecting a third Festivus here with Lamar Jackson in a couple of weeks.
Reasonable expectation. Do I think they're the best team in the league? Overall, week to week, yes. Do I think the margin is as great as, say, the 49ers' victory in Santa Clara showed? No. I think they're much closer to the team that struggled to beat the Los Angeles Rams in overtime. And so they're a little bit up and down. But if you're talking about week in, week out, who do you like the best to play the most consistent football and who has a chance to play dominant football at a given time? It's the Ravens, and with the 49ers close behind, I thought that the game against the 49ers was an outlier. Like, you just don't get that many games between two really good teams where one has five turnovers and the other one has zero, right? And when you do have a five turnover to zero margin, the game does get out of hand, right? That happens in the NFL. I think if those teams were to play again, that wouldn't be how it played out. I'm not saying the Ravens wouldn't win. I'm just saying it wouldn't play out as lopsided as it did the first time around. But as you look forward, yeah, best team in the AFC to get with a chance to get to the Super Bowl. And this is the best version of Lamar Jackson I think I've ever seen.
Well, I'm plugging away with my guest here this week, and Aaron Schatz is coming on a little later on. And so if you hear it in whatever order around here at AM 1570, but his DVOA numbers and the last 20 years of analytics and different things. My analytics are that I watched him play 17 games, and Luke tweeted on Saturday when they were behind by more than one score for the first time all year in a game where they weren't trying in game 17. That's pretty impressive. When they had a lead at the 2 minute warning in all 17 games, that's pretty impressive, right? Or, well, 16 games before the.
Well, it's how they have to play. Look, if you're going to win a championship with Lamar Jackson, don't ask him to have to make a ton of throws from behind. It's just like with San Francisco, with Brock Purdy. And I'm not saying that they're equal players, but their limitations are that they're not suited to play from behind because they're not overwhelming physical talents, right? They're not Patrick Mahomes in the ability to throw the ball. Lamar Jackson is a great athlete. He's a better athlete than we're talking about because of his ability to avoid contact. But again, is he a tight window thrower? I still don't know if he's a tight window thrower on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. What I do know is that Baltimore hasn't had him have to do that very much this season because they have had leads with 2 minutes left in the game. They've never been behind by 2 scores this season. Their defense is so consistent that they're keeping themselves in normal game situations. And that's what you want to do with a quarterback who's not the greatest pure thrower, but is a better thrower than he was in year one and year two. Like, he's improved progressively as a thrower, so you can play a more normal offense. You just can't – I don't know yet if they can play from down 10 in the fourth quarter with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback, but they haven't had to. So great. You know, it's – you've had the perfect recipe for success with Lamar Jackson as your quarterback. That's the way that the Baltimore Ravens should run their team.
There's been some indictment of Eric DaCosta around here, draft classes with Ozzie leaving and you leave, and they haven't won playoff games, and how you put the team together. And Earl Thomas, you know, I mean, there are a couple PU moments. Brashad Perryman, some of the guys they've drafted. I mean, Bateman didn't work. The wide receiver thing over and over and over again here. Going back to Flacco, who's now got some guys who can catch the ball. And we'll get to him in a couple of minutes. We'll do a whole segment on him dancing on the edge of his chaos. But in regard to DaCosta and in regard to the fact that the Steelers have kept their thing together, the Belichicks have kept their thing together, for a period of time, Peyton had that going in New Orleans, where when you keep the administration together 15 years and you keep scouts together and you keep people together, and it's not, you know, a constant maneuvering of who's making key decisions with personnel and with all, $250 million of salary cap money every year, and leaving debts and leaving desperation behind in some cases, many cases. They've been stable. And now Eric, really over the last 2-3 years, drafting, but more than that, the decision to go after Roquan Smith and put a heart transplant into the defense in the middle of the season, and then everything went wrong for their health last year, and how that's benefited them, how it motivated Patrick Queen somehow, because he's going to go get paid elsewhere, solidifying the middle for Madubuike, and then they draft Kyle Hamilton, who is this Swiss Army knife. The Lamar thing, all of the contract things that could have happened, might have happened. They put the diminished tag on him last year. Like, all of these things that could have happened, they all smell really good right now, right? But, you know, when you're 14-3 or whatever the hell they were, 13-4, and still get 13-3 and 14-2 mixed up. But when they are where they are right now, you look at the totality of this and say, they've had good fortune, decent health, other than Mark Andrews and Dobbins, but this has been a pretty well-constructed roster that they're not going to be able to maintain, right? I mean, they're going to be losing guys the minute that the season ends, no matter what. But this is an impressive year to put it together, and this is their time. They have to go win now because they're not going to have a roster like this forever.
No, I mean, look, Eric has done a wonderful job. Do you have to get lucky along the way? Of course you do. You're making percentage decisions all the time to say, okay, I believe that this has an X percent amount of working. The draft itself, right? If you're right in the draft and the players you pick 55% of the time, you're good at your job. But that also means that 45% of the time, you know, you don't make a good decision, right? That's how personnel works. That's how human resources works at any company, right? So you're trying to make this work out. And so you sign Odell Beckham. Is he going to be perfect? You don't know, but you're hoping that he's good enough to help and come up with a few big catches along the way. And he has, right? You go and get the kid likely. And is he going to be great or not? You don't know, but he's served as a great backup, you know, when Andrews went out. You've constructed your defense X way, right? Bring in Roquan. Decide you're going to let Queen walk. You know, like, how's this going to happen? And the most important one is you navigated Lamar Jackson in a way that made Lamar Jackson feel happy to be coming back to the Ravens, right? Because that could have gotten really ugly and was sitting on the edge of getting really ugly a couple of times when Lamar made accusations that the organization put out numbers, right? What they did is they allowed Lamar to go and see what the market was, knowing full well that as long as the number wasn't crazy, they were going to match the deal. And also knowing that most teams didn't know how to construct an offense with Lamar as their quarterback. So they anticipated that the market wouldn't be as hot as a lot of people would expect. So they did a really great job navigating a very, very difficult negotiation with your best player, at least certainly your most prominent player. And they made it, and Lamar came back happy and getting a contract he was satisfied with.
And the level of expectation here for what they've done this year, you know, it's sort of through the ceiling for me to have witnessed this for three decades, to hear everybody talking about them and having folks like you on where they sit in the seat. And Luke would say, well, they were this good in 19. They were this good with, this offense that looked like one of those metallic, football sets where they just ran right, ran left, yeah. And he was such an incredible athlete. Doing things differently now, and you talk about throwing the ball and how they want to throw the ball. This Monken thing and this – I said he looks like Ben Roethlisberger sometimes. He's running around looking and waiting to throw. My God, I never – I thought it was instinctive that he would never do that, that they could never convince him that that was a good idea. But this extending the play as a quarterback, not challenging linebackers and safety as a running back, has been a real – different look the last 8 weeks, and with the success they've had in steamrolling these teams, beginning with the Detroit thing and really just going on the last 8 weeks, him as a pocket passer has worked out better than maybe you and I thought it was going to work out.
Yeah, because he's gotten more accurate as time has gone on, which is a rare thing. That's for the people who remember Kyle Bowler, you usually don't improve your accuracy over time, right? He's become a more accurate thrower, which is an amazing thing in and of itself. But philosophically, it's exactly what you said, which is sometimes it's hard for guys to give up. I'm going to be a runner first, because they get excited when they get out and have the ball in their hand and they're running through the defense and making highlight plays. But at the same time, it's also a painful way to do your business, as he found out the previous 2 years. Like, he sat out a lot of time because he was getting hurt. And if you're going to run that much in this league, you're going to get hurt. Again, I always come back to, there's only one guy in the history of this league, there's up until a few years ago, there was only one guy who ran that much consistently. It was Cam Newton. And Cam ended his career prematurely. I think that Lamar Jackson ran a lot early in his career and was like, you know what? This is probably not the way to make a lot of money. Run to throw, not run to run. Josh Allen needs to learn to do that, or he's going to shorten his career. Russell Wilson extended his career a long time. Forget what Russell Wilson is right now, but he learned very quickly in his career, don't run it that much. Michael Vick suffered a lot because he could never let go of being a runner early in his career.
Jason Cole is here. He is a historian for all things football. You can follow his work and read his books. What are you doing? Give me a little update. Let everybody know where to find you, because you've been in several different places, but still covering the game the way you always covered the game.
Yeah, I'm at the 33rd Team, which is a site owned by Joe Banner and Mike Tannenbaum and some other folks. Bill Polian writes there. Mike Martz writes there. Lots of NFL people who keep it very serious about football. Wanted it to be about the game, which I really, really like writing for them. Also writing books still. Got probably four or five different projects and some other entertainment-related projects as well that I'm working on, trying to get the documentary going and a feature film, all that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. The 33rd Team, it's a great place to go. And you can find me on Twitter at JPhilCole62 or JasonCole62, I should say. And I'm always willing to argue, especially with Buffalo fans who think that Josh Allen should have been the MVP. They were all over me 2 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden they've gotten very quiet.
Well, it's playoffs now, and it's put up or shut up. And I would say this to you from a historical perspective. I was talking to Mike Flynn earlier, and I had Dave Shinen and Rasig on the show during the Crab Cake Tour back in the summer, and the Orioles were on fire. And I just, I'm talking about stuff and holding up my Peter Frampton belt buckles and having a good time and doing different. And I said, Who do you think is going to win the championship first in Baltimore, the Orioles or the Ravens? And the Orioles are on their way to 101 wins. This has been an unprecedented year for both teams to win in the ways that they've won. And the San Francisco going right down to the last games of the year, beating up on San Francisco, Miami, the whole deal for a Baltimore sports fan. But it hasn't bared fruit, at this point. And certainly Lamar's been a great quarterback on a second MVP, hasn't bared fruit. And I said to both of them, what do you think? And Shinen sort of flipped, and Dave as well as anybody covering everything Olympics and all that, said probably neither. And I thought, well, that's a Debbie Downer thing to say for a guy who lives in Baltimore, loves ball, and he's like, that's just the odds. The odds are so hard to do. And I said, yeah. Well, if I got to bet one, I would go baseball because I think that the football field is crowded for Lamar because of Burrow, because of Lawrence, because of Mahomes, because of Allen, that there would come a point that they're going to struggle in their own division. I even put Watson in there thinking maybe he's okay, right? But I'm just saying, like, the navigating part, and I've watched this for 30 years, of winning three games in January against three quarterbacks that are your equal or better. Peyton Manning was a great quarterback, maybe a better quarterback than Brady, really. Had a hard time winning. And then you throw Roethlisberger in there and you throw the other Flacco for a little while or a minute. All of that and then health and gets in the way. And I said, it's going to be hard to navigate. Now that I sit here, Jason, we're 2 weeks out. Lamar's on the couch this weekend. Everybody else is playing. Next weekend, it'll be Flacco, Mason Rudolph, or Tua Tagovailoa if they can survive 5 degrees. So it's probably going to be a lesser kind of guy. And then they're only going to get Allen or Mahomes if they win the first game. This is a different path to navigate than I saw it when they were looking to sign Lamar and all that.
Absolutely, right.
This is perfect.
This is the way you want to shape up. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Mahomes, the offense around him is not as good. All those things that you're talking about. Cleveland, they're going through, through one quarterback after another. They land on Flacco. Yes, this is the setup, not just for Baltimore and how they have played this season, but it's the setup for what's around them to get for the best chance, the best opportunity for the Ravens to win a title. I think they're the overwhelming favorite coming out of the AFC. But I always say this, Cleveland has a hell of a defense. Kansas City has a hell of a defense. Your defense can travel. Those two teams are troubling. And Buffalo, as much as their Josh Allen is erratic with the ball and creates some problems, they do have a heck of a roster. So there's still three other teams out there that if you tell me they went into Baltimore and they won, I would not be shocked. On the NFC side, I don't think there's a single team that I see going into San Francisco and winning. That's the one. That's the difference. Okay, I don't see anybody beating San Francisco and Santa Clara out of that bracket. In the AFC bracket, there are still three. I see three capable teams.
Lynch has done. I mean, they've done a hell of a job out there, right? They're a million miles away from here. We don't see them until Christmas night. I mean, but they, Shanahan's a genius, right?
Offensively, yeah, they do some amazing things. But again, there's a reason they're 0-38 when they're down by 8 points or more in the second half, under Kyle Shanahan. They're not built to play comeback football. Yeah, neither is Baltimore for that matter. So it's who gets control of a game early is a critical for both. San Francisco and for the Rams, right? Neither one of those teams wants to play from behind, okay? And that's just the way that they've set up their roster. But the way that they've set up their roster, they're not playing from behind very often, and they've maxed out Brock Purdy. They've got great weapons around. I would love to see a rematch of those two teams on a neutral field in Las Vegas. I think that'd be a really fun game. So I'd love to see the chess match between those two teams.
Guy always roots for the story because he's a sports writer. Jason Cole joining us here. You can find him out on the Twitter thing. Also writing now amongst some professionals and people that have won. So the Chiefs, two-time winners, Reed, you mentioned their defense. They're a little forgotten in this because they've been forgettable, right? Like it hasn't been that kind of
awful.
A year.
Tom
Brady had
year
years like this. Tom Brady had years where it's like, they're not that good. This isn't their best team. This guy's old. That guy's beat up. He doesn't have these weapons. Welker's out. Whatever it is, this is a real – boots because he's never played a game in the playoffs on the road. That's which is a crazy stat, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes, right? And the problem that they've had is a very simple one. Their wide receivers do not catch the football. They're also not very, you know, they have, and it's the simplest thing in the world. They lead the league in drop balls. And they've killed themselves. They've lost probably three games this season because of dropped passes. Okay, stop dropping passes and you become dangerous again. But the key thing with the Chiefs that has made them super competitive is this is the best defense that they have ever had in the Patrick Mahomes era. By far the best defense that they've ever had in the Patrick Mahomes defense in the Patrick Mahomes era. So to me, that's what makes the Chiefs still a very dangerous team because they only have to score 23 or 24 points to beat you. Now, Baltimore is the same way. You know, they only have to score 23, 24. They've taken a lot of burden off of the offense, even though the offense has played incredibly well. They average 29 in a game, one of the top offenses in the league. But they don't have to score like that. And neither do the Chiefs right now, which is why I think that'd be a really fascinating game if those teams played.
Flacco and Cleveland and the defense and Jim Schwartz and just where they are is sort of this weird dark horse, and they have a winnable game and they're favored this week. I would think Pittsburgh and Miami are going to struggle in Buffalo and Kansas City. So you would think if Flacco wins, we sit around all weekend and without an upset, it will be Flacco coming back in. Where are you with the Browns? First off, are they going to win this week? Because that kid in Houston can play a little bit.
Getting used to him play, I like it. But Jim Schwartz with really great players, like starting with Myles Garrett and adding in some great DBs, that's a recipe for a 4 or 5 sack game, which is going to make it tough for C.J. Stroud. Like he's had a couple of stretches. The first two games of the season, he gave up 11 sacks. And then about 5 weeks ago, he had a 3-game stretch where he was sacked 13 times in 3 games. So look, you can get to confuse Stroud because he's still a young player. He's a great player, but he's a young player. You see all the promise with him, but there are times you can throw things at him that are going to make him hesitate. Jim Schwartz can do that, right? And he has the talent to do that, more importantly. Probably the best defensive end in football in Myles Garrett. But, you know, when you talk about overall play, you know, both as a pass rusher and playing against the run. So he's got tools there that I think are going to make this a low-scoring game played, you know, the winner probably gets 23 points in this game. And I think Cleveland has enough that they get 23 points. And look, you've got Flacco in a perfect situation, which is he can be a brain-dead heaver in this game. And, you know, he can make a couple of mistakes and throw a couple of interceptions because the defense will cover for him. And as long as he can, I mean, his interception rate is at 4%. That's an ungodly high interception rate, okay? But he doesn't care because he's playing on house money, right? And he's got a defense that will cover for him. So the Flacco story is terrific and fun. It's all in the perfect situation for Flacco because Flacco is one of these guys, and you guys saw it for years. Like, throw anything you want at him. Hit him 18,000 times in a game. That's what Pittsburgh would do every single time. He's going to get up, and he's going to sling it again, and he's going to live with the results one way or the other. He was never a guy who was going to get up tight. He was never a guy who was going to lose focus on what he was trying to get done, okay? Things were not going to bother Joe Flacco in an open way, right? The only thing he was going to really ever fight for and be, you know, like take a stand on was, look, I think I'm worth this amount of money. You better pay me. And that's what he made the Baltimore Ravens do when he went out and won that Super Bowl. They had to pay him at that point in time. So to me, this is set up perfectly for Flacco. Cleveland goes into Houston. They probably win. And that's a dangerous game between Cleveland and Baltimore because it is a slugfest. It is a classic AFC North game with two great defenses going at it. I think that Lamar is a little more than Cleveland can handle, but Look, Cleveland beat them earlier this season with a big comeback victory. So Cleveland feels like they can win that game.
Is that Tahoe behind you?
That's Big Sur.
That's Big Sur. I couldn't tell. It looked like a lake. It's an ocean.
This is my back window. Didn't you know this is my back window?
Hey, yeah, man.
I'm living large.
Rosebud. There's a Rosebud. There he is. I gotta get a little Citizen Kane in there for everybody.
That's a little south of Big Sur. Big Sur. That's down in almost Southern California.
I drove up one time in my life in the summer of 1988 with two of my best pals, John Raffalitis and Mark Miller. We drove from San Diego up Route 1, did the whole thing, all those treacherous little roads. So I know a little Big Sur, all right? You know?
You do. And the Hearst Castle reference is a good one. Yeah, I like that. The whole William Randolph Hearst thing.
My first paycheck ever. From the Hearst Corporation at the Baltimore News American. So I'll get Resig on to that.
A toast to William Randolph. There you go.
There you go. I have Rosebud. Flacco is all I'm going to say to Jason Cole. Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, they'll be on the tongue. Luke's out in Owings Mills. We had a little bit of a bye week going on here this week. If you hear Jason next week, it's all good. We're at a Baltimore Positive. We're doing Crab Cake Row beginning February 5th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation and our friends at Jiffy Lube Multi Care. Lots of football ahead. Lots of fun. It's Festivus for the rest of us. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.